This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Surprise for Texas Rangers spring training on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. And right now, we bring to you our manager, Bruce Bochy. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It's good to see you guys here in Surprise.
Absolutely. We've already got a chance to talk with a bunch of guys in clubhouse and stuff, and they've been fantastic. One of the people we haven't talked to yet is Jake Berger, and I know one of the things you said about Jake Berger is he's got a really good arm, which I think a lot of people maybe don't think about when they consider first base. How important is that, or how much of an advantage does that potentially give him?
Oh, I think it's a huge advantage. You know, with Jake being a third baseman, yeah, he's got something to throw with, and he's already shown that. You know, when you get a ground ball at first base, if you don't have the arm, you may not throw it to second, but he comes up firing or throwing to home or third base on a bunt, things like that. The arm plays a bigger part than you think, because a lot of first basemen are there because they don't throw well.
Right.
Yeah, but he's there because of Josh Young. And so, to have a first baseman that, can do some things with the arm, I think it's a huge advantage.
You know, there's a lot of times you look at your team, you can't have everything. You know, you can't have all the things that you want on a team, but maybe if you're really good at these things, you can be really good that year. What is it that you like really think this team, we can be really good at these things this year?
Well,
or are we good at everything already?
Well, I mean, every team's going to have, an area that they think is, they need to improve. And I think you look at this club right now, it's not that we need to improve, but the bullpen will have to get sorted out. We don't have any defined roles, but we have guys that can handle high leverage situations. But as much as anything, I think that's different with this club is our offense. I think we're going to get back to slugging, better than what we did last year. I think we'll be better fastball hitters than what we did last year. I think this has the makings of a really good rotation. I really do. And knock on wood, all stay healthy. But and we have depth there too. So it's going to be competitive on a couple spots, especially in the bullpen, as far as how we decide to go with the pitching. Our defense should be good. I think Jake has the makings of being a really good first baseman. The thing I like about what's happening with Jake this year, he's a first baseman, and he's only going to focus at first base, where in the past he's played third, maybe even a game or two at second, and then go to first. But now he's got 6 weeks to just concentrate on first base, and I've already seen improvement from him. And so I'm kind of excited to watch his defense. But around the horn, and of course, in the outfield, I think we have the makings of a very good defensive team. Now, Doley has taken he's taken upon himself to really get in tremendous shape. I just see a different hop to him when he's running. You know, we get him back to being the, you know, the Gold Glover that he is, and so that's you know, that's gonna be fun to watch. Carter having him back, and Leo in center field, we got speed there, and of course we saw Wyatt, and Wyatt just got better and better. So should be a good defensive team, a very strong rotation. And I'm a pitcher, a pitching centric guy, and that's what wins championships, I think. But you know, we did it with Slug, sure, I get it in 23, but it's just going to be important that you know, these pitchers give us a chance to win a game on a consistent basis.
Your first meeting in 23, we had Derek Holland on the show, and Colby Lewis came on. I later talked to Michael Young, and they're like, look, I haven't really wanted to play baseball since I retired, but that meeting, that first meeting with the team here, as you're the manager of the Texas Ranger, was an awesome meeting according to those guys that were special assistants. Like, it was great. And I don't know how the meeting went last year, and now this year is your third year. Do you have a different message being the first-year manager, then coming off of a World Series, and now coming off of a year where you guys didn't play above 500? Or
Yeah. You know, every message is probably a little different. You know, I talked a little bit about, you know, I told them about a team that you know, I know that I knew about, and this team was just loaded with incredible talent that was on a very important mission. That was to win the World Series, and I went on and on. And then I just said, you know, I guess you guys know I'm talking about us. And so, you know, we got to, you know, get back to who we are. And, you know, for that to happen, you know, you talk about some things that we need to get better at, things we, you know, we need to work on, and you know, how important these 6 weeks are. A lot of people look at, you know, spring training as can be long, but we need to look at these 6 weeks as we need this time to get to where we want to be when that bell rings. And so anyway, yeah, I try to, you know, vary, you know, change it up a little bit, but, you know, the biggest message is to let them know how good they are and how special, you know, that they can be. And don't forget that, because we got to hit the field with that swagger that we used to.
You talked about the bullpen and maybe not having the defined roles just yet. I'm curious your thoughts going into the season. Can you just have a group that's like, these are the high leverage guys, or do you feel more comfortable knowing that more often than not, this is the seventh, this is the eighth, this is the ninth? Or like, how's your basic bullpen philosophy there?
You know, it's just critical for a manager to adjust to his team. You know,
yeah.
How you play, you know, whether it's offensively, small ball, or do you sit back a little bit more? The same with the pitching, the starters, you know, you let them go deep or you want to cover them. And with the bullpen, yeah, I mean, sure, everybody would like to have that set closer. But, you know, if you don't, then it's up to myself and Mike to adjust to them. And so, you know, with the game, you know, it's changed a little bit where you have to face three hitters. So now pockets are talked about a lot. So, you know, I think we have the righties and lefties that we can, you know, get them in a pocket to where, you know, we think, you know, they have a really good chance of succeeding. That's you know, that's our job. And so it's going to be nice to, you know, have a nice mix down there. You know, we signed Jackson, for example. He can spin it very well. We, you know, a young guy like Robert Garcia, he's a power arm, good changeup. You know, whether he's in the seventh, eighth, or maybe the ninth inning, depending on who's coming up. So it'll be a you know, matchup thing a lot, you know, right now. Now, you don't know if that's going to evolve into having defined roles with how they're throwing. And so, you know, that's where you adjust to. I mean, last year, you know, we started out, okay, Robertson, Yates, you know, but we ended up having Robertson being kind of the stopper and, you know, the fireman there and pitching the eighth and Yates in the ninth. And, man, what a job they did.
Absolutely.
So we're hoping, you know, that something like that happens for us this year.
This team seems like a lot of clean cut. You know, everything's really nice and even keel with these guys. I know Austin Hedges had a great personality, and it helped around that clubhouse. We had a former player once say, no, Boach likes some degenerates on the team, too, every once in a while. It is a delicate balance, though, getting that group together. When you add, like, a Jock and a Jake, are those different personalities that are going to kind of pop in that clubhouse?
Oh, I think so. I think without question. I've seen it already. Yeah, I call him the cat in the hat, Chuck Peterson, the beanie he wears out there. And I want these guys to be themselves. You know, I want that personality to come out. And, you know, we have some guys that just, you know, they're going to even keel. And as we saw, that works in the postseason. Mm-hmm, nobody got too high or, you know, too low. And but, you know, it's good to have the guys that keep the other guys loose, have fun. And Jock's certainly that. I tell you, he's a character. And Berger's the same way. You know, he has fun. In fact, Berger, he kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, Josh Young. They're baseball rats. You know, they don't golf. They don't do anything. It's baseball with them. And that's where their focus is. And so I think he's going to be a nice, piece on this team with how he carries himself, how he plays.
Rocker's pitching today. If you're completely healthy, which is the hope coming out of spring training, can he make the team?
Well, yeah, I think you see where you're at and see how guys are throwing. I think you have to be open-minded with the decisions you make, because we want to break with the best club, and so. And, you know, we feel that he's one of our best. Yeah, I know CY feels the same. And so we're not ruling anything out with he or Leiter. They're starters. And like I said, you don't know if, breaking camp, we might, if we think a guy needs a little bit more time, or, we need to give somebody some rest, or we just think he's better than the other guy, then, yeah, we'll go with him.
How much lineup shuffling will there be during spring training? I mean,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Specifically the major leaguers. I know a lot of other players you'll see as well. How much lineup shuffling will we see in order to lock in that lineup, especially the number three hole going into the start of the regular season?
Yeah, you'll see a lot. But I tell the guys, don't get caught up to when you're hitting. And I mean, spring training, sometimes you put them at the top of the order so you can get that other at bat. But also take a look at it, see what you think. As far as the heart of the order, we got some flexibility there. So, Wyatt, obviously, he should be ready in about 10 days. So that's why you're not seeing him.
10 days from now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We think he'll be game ready. When you're looking at Berger, Young, very similar type guys, can do damage. Dolly, we get him back, I can't say that Dolly's going to be our cleanup hitter. He's been told that. It's not like, right now he's been pretty much hitting in that four holes. So when we break camp and see where these guys are offensively, that'll help decide, what we end up doing. The back end of our order, to me, is really important. That we need to get those guys on for the top of the order. We saw the success we had in 23. So that's going to be important to have guys down there who can find a way to get on base.
All right. So I've never really forgiven Kevin Pillar for what happened up in Toronto, because he was one of those guys that just makes plays against the Rangers back in the day. And I was like, oh, he's frustrating. But we forgave you after you beat us in the World Series, so it's okay. Do you have an idea plan for him? Because we're trying to figure out kind of what is the plan for Pillar, right-handed outfield bat.
Yeah, and that's what he is. I'm going to try to give him as many bats as I can off lefties here this spring. He's getting here late. He is going to get a couple of bats today, at least one. And so he'll be playing some center, some right, left field. We'll move him, move him around. We'll see where we're at as we break camp, obviously. He has said, hey, I'll go to AAA. He just wants to get back on the field. So this isn't where he's got to make the club or else. And we're not going to use that on him. We think we need him because lefties have given us trouble, And obviously, we're trying to get Carter at bats off lefties. Leo, that's been be honest, an issue for him. So that he does provide us a little bit more of a threat from the right side against lefties.
So, Boach, I know you're a fan of sports. The Four Nations Hockey All-Star Break was awesome, especially Canada versus the United States. Do you think that could happen in Major League Baseball, where they would take a week off and say Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you have USA, Japan, Dominican Republic, and Venezuela play each play a game each day, and then on Saturday you have a championship game to really, I think baseball fans would love that.
Oh, I like it. I didn't think about it. I like it. Yeah, I think the fans would love it. I think the players would love it. It breaks it up. You play 162 games,
right.
So, to change it up a little bit. I think I'd like it now that you brought it up, Mike. So, but that was exciting. Now, Jordan Teagues, our bullpen coach, is from Canada, so we let him have it when we beat him.
And then,
well, when they beat us, here he has Canadian jersey on, and he was proud, and as he should have been. And so we had a lot of fun with it, and a lot of us aren't hockey fans, but we watched it. We got into it.
Man, outstanding stuff. We appreciate it. We love talking with you every single week. Thank you very much for the time and for popping up with us.
Hey, guys, always great talking with you. Thanks
go get
for,
Rangers,
thanks
right?
For having me. Yeah.
Go get Rangers.
Go get Rangers.
Yes, I'm the person who said that, unfortunately. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do a little bit of AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus a story from Jameis Winston next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get to AM on the FM in just a minute, but a couple of notes. Bruce Bochy, always a wealth of information, said they anticipate Wyatt Langford being ready 10 days from now. So you go back to Friday, we heard the oblique issue, 5 to 7 days. And so, you know, now it's looking more like it'll end up being 14, give or take. And then also that Kevin...
Here's real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason that I'm not concerned at all. In spring training 15 years ago, your first game was March 1st or February 28th.
Yeah.
You didn't play games this early. Like, we're here for most of spring training, all of my spring training. You didn't play games in February.
Right.
Maybe you played a game on February 28th or February 29th.
But that would be the early.
But that would be like your first game. So they're like, oh gosh, like if we just take it to like his first game could be March 4th or 5th.
Yeah.
Like that's plenty of time to be ready for the season. Now, if he has a setback where we move it to March 15th, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
He probably won't be ready. Like, at least maybe he'd be healthy to start the season, but you're like, ah, did he get the at-bats necessary to feel like his timing's ready to go? That would be different.
The other note from Boch that Kevin Pillar, not that he wants to go to AAA, but he is not averse to going to AAA when we were just talking about the stack-up of the outfield lineup.
That's awesome news because when you're talking about, I was thinking, are they going to have to send maybe Ezekiel Duran down? It sounds like they won't have to if they don't feel like Pillar is part of the 26. He's willing to go to Round Rock to start the year, which is great if you're Chris Young and stuff, that you know that you could have a veteran outfielder ready to go when injuries happen or lack of production happens.
We're getting him. We're going to talk to him tomorrow, Kevin.
Kevin Pillar.
We're going to go into clubhouse.
Oh, okay.
I just learned that he has llamas and about 50 chickens, and he likes to do things to earn some monies. So so I'm going to talk to him about...
We can talk about when Chu stuck out his hand, mm-hmm. and it looked like he won the game because mm-hmm. the catcher threw it into his hand and Rookie Odor scored. And then when they were throwing, you know, like, we can talk to him about that Toronto scene from the other side. Have we ever talked to anybody on Toronto from the other perspective of that series and then the whole Batista Odor situation?
That is a great idea.
And I want to ask him what he was thinking whenever he caught that fly ball for the Angels. Was it, I want to quit baseball, or this team is terrible? Like, in his face, you can see there is a lot going on.
And then one more note for you, and we can deconstruct this later, but Mark Spears, I don't understand this.
This goes back to what Brian Windhorst said after this game, though, remember?
Yeah, Mark Spears said Jaylen Brown is the reason the Mavericks traded Luka. Quote, what he did to Luka in the finals, shutting him down, guarding him full court, making it unbearable offensively, led Dallas to questioning Luka as the leader of the team and questioning whether he was in shape or not. So I guess the Timberwolves looked into trading Anthony Edwards and the Thunder looked into getting rid of Shea and all of that.
Listen, Kevin, it's not one. I don't think any one thing we've heard is the one definitive thing. It's probably an amalgamation of all the things that have been said. This one happens to be a new thing added to it. And quite honestly, watching Jaylen Brown shut him down last year was difficult. But we all thought he can come back from that, and he's probably going to utilize that as more motivation to go kick somebody's ass. Whereas they thought we had to baby this guy and take a beer away from him so he wouldn't celebrate.
Right.
And I just, not thinking, hey, he still has more room to grow with this. That's weird to me.
I guess they would get in trouble for this. But I'll put it out there. I'm not doing this anymore till Friday. Why don't we just put it out? Hey, we think he's a alcoholic, and we think that he has a weight problem. And we don't think he's going to overcome either two of those two things. We don't think he's going to overcome his drinking habits, and we don't think he's going to mature, and we don't think that he's going to get in good shape ever.
because you can't.
But
do
don't
that.
Don't
you can't PR.
I guess
like that's you're right. Like the blunt way to do it to make everybody happy would be to say the thing.
They've handled everything about this the worst from a PR perspective.
Because why wouldn't you say, well, we got to trade Jokic now? Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns shut down.
Yeah,
and he couldn't close out the series against Minnesota. So we just don't trust that Jokic can do it after losing that series.
And I saw somebody text in earlier. They said you wasted 7 years of Luka, and that's the thing. I actually don't feel that way.
I had a blast
because you got two Western Conference Finals and an NBA Finals. I think that's why it's frustrating to me. Like I get it with Zach Martin, and I know Mike Parson said I'm going to be different, but like. You didn't really get that far, and I'm like, the hell are we doing? Like, with Luka, I could be like, I see exactly what we're doing. We just got back to the NBA final for the first time since we won it all. Like, I could see the progress.
There was a definite path and vision.
If they felt that way after that Jaylen Brown game, pretty much the series, why did they build the team like they did around Luka again in the offseason?
I don't know.
If they knew it was over,
I don't know.
Like, let's just put Mark Spears and these people to task here. If they knew it was over, if they knew the Luka era was over after the NBA Finals, why did they still build the team around Luka in the offseason?
Okay, can I ask you a quick question about that? Do you think it's possible that the faux injury stint was the last straw? Like, do you think
the fake wrist?
Yeah. Do you think,
and then that he didn't come back from the calf injury as fast as they wanted because he was using his own trainers?
Yeah,
the Mavericks.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, if they would have been like, "Hey, this is what you got to fix," and he was like, "I got it. I got a taste of the final. We didn't get it. I'll be back. We'll win." And then almost not immediately, but pretty quick, they had to be like, "All right, we're going to put you on the injured list because you're still not in shape."
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
No. I'm with you on that. I think that's probably the last straw was the calf injury, which was a real injury on Christmas.
Yes.
But it shouldn't have lasted. The Mavericks believed it shouldn't have lasted as long as it did. But Luka refused to listen to the Mavericks and did his own program to get himself ready on his own timeline. And after the fake wrist injury that they made up because he wasn't in shape, ready to play this season, after that Utah game where he just allowed a dunk to end the game. He's like, I don't care. Just dunk the ball. We lose in Utah. And now we're 5-7. I get all of those things made them very mad and very frustrated. And I'll say again, they had a right to trade Luka, but you had a responsibility to the organization to get the most for Luka.
I'm 100% with you. All right, we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and now it's time for this.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alex, you be quiet.
Alex, that was awful.
One for Alex, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it, because it is going to be a very abbreviated version of AM on the FM.
Sorry
right here
that,
on 105.3 The Fan. 877-881-1053. That is the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney's text line. If you want to answer the question of the day today, this one's oddly specific. The holiday today on February 25th. National Chocolate Covered Nut Day.
Ooh.
Now, National Chocolate Covered Nut Day. So there's actually a weird springboard off of this. The question of the day is going to be, what's your favorite go-to snack when you're on the move? Because for me, I can reach in my backpack right now. It's too far away. I won't do it right this second. But I do have a bag of dark chocolate covered almonds on me at all times. Like literally everywhere I go, I always keep those on me because one, they kind of cure that like sweet craving, but two, they're not bad for you. They're good in protein. The dark chocolate's good for you. Like it's a good fulfilling snack. So I always keep those on me. During the summer, I leave them in the backpack because the sun will melt them and everything. That's not fun. But during the winter, I'll literally just leave a bag of them in my car. So if I get hungry anywhere I go.
Did you see what Mike was flashing up for the camera?
I have honey roasted almonds right now that I got at Target.
A bag of nuts
honey
always works.
Almonds are delicious.
They are.
I like cashews. Cashews are the best nut.
They're not as good for you, though, as almonds.
That's right. They do have a little more cholesterol and a higher fat content, but I like they're a soft nut that you can, like, chew up a little bit easier than almonds.
That's true. If your teeth are soft.
That is true. Alec, do they have lots of different kinds of chocolate-covered nuts? Like, are there chocolate-covered cashews? And
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. If you go to Bucky's will give you a lot of selection of chocolate-covered
nuts. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And you'll get really good prices there too. So like you'll end up saying, I'm probably just going to get like the chocolate covered almonds. And then you leave with five different varieties and you're like, well, it was only $12. So, you know, why not? But Target has a really good selection too. Like you can literally just go down to the grocery store and a lot of them, there's lots of variety now. So I've been kind of experimenting. You'll get like the trail mix variations and stuff. But if there's dark chocolate involved, you can probably count me in terms of snacks.
Okay. Question then. How do you stack that up versus the like the Raisinette or the chocolate covered raisin? Because they have dark chocolate versions of that as well.
It depends. It depends what I'm wanting. Because if I'm wanting that sweet and salty vibe, then I'll go with the chocolate covered nut. But the raisins are pretty good too. If I'm wanting something a little bit more strictly sweet, then yeah, I keep both of those at the house usually. Within arm's reach whenever I'm doing anything to try to, you know, just cure that because I try to stay away from sugar as much as I can. So that kind of cures the sweet tooth craving that comes in every now and then.
I might say my favorite chocolate covered thing is pretzels.
Ooh,
because that gives you the crunch and the salt.
Do you go regular or do you go dark chocolate? I don't love white chocolate, so that's not my favorite.
I like them all. I know that dark chocolate, not that it's good for you,
but
I
guess it's better small for dose. You.
Yeah, it's better than milk chocolate.
Yeah, 90% cacao.
But
you know what I'm saying?
I think I like milk chocolate better.
Yeah, I do
but
too.
I don't mind white chocolate. I don't mind dark chocolate. I mean, it's
I don't like
chocolate.
White chocolate. Yeah. It just tastes like powdered sugar to me, which is basically what it is, but it does taste like powdered sugar. So, and that's one of the reasons. I don't know. Never mind. I'm not going to get more.
It's interesting they do call it white chocolate because it's not chocolate.
It's not chocolate. Yeah, Mike's right about that.
What do you think we should call it?
White sugar in a hardened form.
Yeah.
White gold, Texas tea.
White juice, white.
I love chocolate covered strawberries.
White goo.
Ooh. I think chocolate cover. Every time February 14th happens, I'll dive in on it. Is that the question of the day, by the way?
No, the question of the day is not what do you eat on Valentine's Day.
I thought this was Mike's last week, Corey. Come on.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was responding to a texter. My apologies.
It happens. I like chocolate covered fruit too at times.
Yeah. Chocolate covered banana at the banana stand. Ooh. Oh my gosh. Yeah,
my wife got really one. She's like, you need to stop saying it, but on our honeymoon we are on a cruise and I hadn't really drank alcohol much in my life. I just turned 22 and they had a frozen drink called a dirty banana.
Okay.
And I thought it was great. And we're at dinner. Well, on a cruise you're at dinner, there's like three other couples sitting with you.
Yeah, that you don't know.
Yeah, and I'm like, gosh, after dinner's over, I'd love to go get another dirty banana. And and she was like, don't say that because people might think different of what you're saying.
There's always money in the banana stand. So
that's true.
That's a fact.
That is true.
And real quick before we get out of here, I heard this last night whenever I was scrolling through TikTok as one does in the early wee hours of the morning. Jameis Winston on with Bussin' with the Boys, the podcast, and he was talking a little bit about how he found out that he was essentially going to get uprooted from Tampa Bay in place of Tom Brady. He said he saw the signs, but he kind of derails his own question here at the end with one of the best quotes I've ever heard.
I'm going into the Bucs facility in the middle of COVID, training my butt off, like knowing that the world is shut down, but I see signs of TB12 being built. In the middle of COVID, I said, now how in the hell are they able to build a TB12 in the middle of COVID? And like, and nothing is announced yet, but I'm going to the facility still. I'm like, man, I'm gonna get a chance to work with Tom Brady. Oh my goodness, it's gonna be amazing. And then breaking news, Tom Brady has just signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I'm just sitting there like, I knew that TB12. There ain't don't nothing happen by coincidence. Like, I'm sitting there getting my life, and I'm going through it with my dad. Like, I just been broke an NFL record with 33 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. Like, I ain't nobody going to ever they're not confident enough.
They're not confident enough to throw 30 interceptions.
I just broke an NFL record.
Dude, he posted on TikTok. He was like, I was on the Jumbotron at the Super Bowl, and he was up in the stands, and he was like, yeah, a lot of quarterbacks have never been there before. I didn't even have to play.
I do think Jameis Winston has a long career in media after this.
Have you seen the clips of him opening cards? Oh, it is super hilarious. Fun.
Oh, really? I need to see this.
Yeah.
I just think probably more pre and post, though. I don't
know. I got you.
Like, in-game, I think, could be good, but I just feel like if you give him kind of the floor for a while to just start talking, you're going to have some fun.
Yeah, Fox, that's their pregame show, right? They're going to use him as like a Rob Riggle kind of guy. They'll be like, hey, he's our man on the street. Go have some fun
Fox
with him.
Fox has to make some cuts.
What do you mean? Why?
They have too many people?
They do. It's like, okay, Howie, what's your one sentence? Strahan, what's your one sentence? It's like there's just not enough time.
Let's go to Manning out there.
Let's go to the guy who does MMA and has breaking news. Let's go to
Glazer.
Let's go to Gronk, and he's like, I don't know what to say. And you're like, all right, well, that was enough time for you. And I feel like there's not enough time for these guys to actually break anything down.
I would love for Mike to be a director and just kind of go around. It's like, hey, you get one sentence, I'll give you 30 seconds.
Or, I know this, put two people on set for this segment. With James Brown is still the host, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, all right, this segment's over. Now two other people get to sit down and talk.
Okay.
But having seven people
feels like too
for 12 minutes, that's too much.
There you go, Alec. You're welcome.
Alec, that was a great Mike likes it.
Hey, thanks. What? All right, well, you only got one more AM on the FM, Mike. So you
really?
Better enjoy it, yeah. Hey,
what
on Thursday.
Day?
Yeah.
I don't know. You might want to get one ready for Friday just in case.
Oh, man, that is not a bad idea at all.
Kevin and Corey have told me to say everything that
nope.
I haven't said
nope.
in my 13 years here.
You gave us a list of things you want to say, and we said
true.
Don't do it. So
no.
You guys said you still have to work here, and I'm like, you guys can't get in trouble for what I say.
We absolutely can.
Yes,
it's never happened.
We gotta go.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, live from Surprise, it's time for some gridiron gravy. Should the NFL ban this play, and should the Cowboys consider this defensive tackle? Next on The Fan.
Here we go.
KNC Masterpiece right here.
Is he directing the show right
105.3
now?
105.3 The Fan, yeah. I don't know what if all of that went out over the air, but yeah, Mike turns his mic on and goes, Mike on, let's go, while Alec is still doing his read. All right, right now, let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go!
Now, Raheem Morris has come out and said the tush push should be illegal. Sean McDermott expressed safety concerns.
What?
And the Packers
got
apparently
called out.
have been revealed as the team that officially proposed a rule to ban the tush push. Do you think these are real safety concerns, or do you think they're safety of their job concerns because they can't stop it?
They can't stop it. And didn't we think that when Kelsey retired, it would be tougher to do? And it's not.
Yeah. Well, I was pretty adamant that they still had people around. It is a technique more than it is the person. You know, like DeGrom is a DeGrom pitcher, and replacing him is difficult. The technique specifically on what they're trying to do, and that is get low and push from there and crawl through the ground, that is part of it. Plus, the way they catch you off balance with the snap. I think it's hilarious that teams are like, we can't stop it, so we have to try and ban it and outlaw it. I don't like that. I've never liked that.
Yeah.
Not in baseball, not in basketball. I've never liked those kinds of things. But this is one of those other ones they're trying to add to it. But, man, they weren't as successful at times, but they still utilize it better than anybody else. Everybody else should just learn how to use it.
Now, let's throw this out there. The Bills and wide receiver Khalil did that all wrong.
That's all right.
Khalil Shakir, closer, reached an agreement today.
Tried a third time?
A four-year contract extension worth up to $60.2 million. It includes $32 million guaranteed. And so, update for Buffalo right there. Obviously, I know they had to make a lot of changes last year. One thing that they're going to lock down and make sure they bring back next year. I had a free agency, or I guess kind of a trade question for you guys, because obviously T. Higgins.
Don't do this to
could,
me.
I'm
what you did to me this morning.
I'm just.
Whoa.
Gonna, I'm just. Whoa. That did. Mean, that did sound weird. That,
I wasn't around you guys.
It was in the clubhouse. So.
Oh,
in front of everybody.
I know they've talked about the Bengals opening up the pocketbooks and everything like that, or perhaps just franchise tagging him again. Would you prefer T. Higgins to the Commanders or Myles Garrett to the Eagles?
Kevin, you know I'm a T. Higgins fan.
Yes, you are.
And so I would not want to see him in a Washington uniform by any means. I just can't. I couldn't handle something like that because then I couldn't have him on my fantasy team.
I wish you could have seen what Corey
it was Kevin
and I
Pillar.
Saw.
Yeah, what happened?
That was Kevin Pillar.
They're working on balls off of the wall. So Beasley is hitting balls off of the wall. And Pillar went back and slipped on the turf. And it looked like he got clotheslined by a wrestler.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Somebody hit one over the fence.
Well, Beasley's just, he's having to try to work off the top of the wall. So there's playing balls off the wall. But
wow.
Yeah, Pillar.
That looks scary.
He got.
Because I saw you guys light up, and I didn't
know
why.
For a second, and I was like, it wouldn't make sense that Lankford would be out there with his injury. For a second, I thought it was Lankford. I was like, please get up, because I just bid $350 on a card during this segment.
Evan
I'm
Carter,
still not winning.
Adolis, Pillar, and Leote, and a different short fella out there.
And you said it was Pillar that took the clothesline?
Yeah. So, all right.
He's okay, though. He's up and bouncing around right now, so everything's all right.
Yeah, we're doing good.
Okay. So,
home run!
Corey, does that mean you pick Myles Garrett to the Eagles?
I'll take Myles Garrett to the Eagles if I have to. I don't want to see T. Higgins.
That'd be awesome.
Not for the Cowboys.
And help them defend their championship.
Yeah, I don't want them to defend their championship,
Nobody wants
Mike.
That. You just put us in a bad position, Kevin, so I have to pick one.
All right. I'll try to fix it. Would you like to consider bringing Milton Williams over to the Cowboys? Like, I know that Steven said, hey, we're talking with Osa and we've got all those contract negotiations, blah, blah, blah. I think they're going to find out how much money it costs, and I think they're going to try to get around it. Whereas Milton Williams with the Eagles, he's mostly been a backup, only started 19 of his 67 games, played less than 49% of the snaps in each of his first four seasons. However, you look at how he did this past year, you've got an uptick going back to how it was in 2023. You saw him make an impact at times in the playoffs.
All right, I want you to understand this. I pulled up Milton Williams. Mm-hmm. Battle for Supremacy unfolds as Niners eye Milton Williams.
Oh, no.
Broncos caution against overspending on Milton Williams. Here's when an extension might look for him. Patriots recommended as top landing spot for Milton Williams. Cowboys eye Milton Williams. So there are but there's a lot of competition there. I'm curious if there's more competition for Osa or for him.
I definitely think Osa.
Or do you say, you know what, it doesn't matter, man.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Let's get both
that.
Of them in on this line. We have to make a big, beefy, strong defensive line, and Mozzie hasn't turned into the player we need him to be yet.
Because there are some concerns that, like, it's not that Milton Williams is not good, but he looks better than he actually is because of the people that he's surrounded by.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense whenever you have Jordan Davis and you got Jalen Carter on the field with you, too.
It really does.
And Myles Garrett.
I mean,
Myles Garrett's not there yet.
Per what Corey said earlier. But you know what? I'll tell you why that team is going to continue to be good and why the Philadelphia Eagles are so, so, so different than the Dallas Cowboys. Did you know that even after they won the Super Bowl, Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator, was still mad at the team? So I think it was...
What was the final score? It was the last 10 minutes?
Okay.
They scored touchdowns?
And that is exactly
what
it was. So he said the day before the Super Bowl parade, so the game would have been on Sunday, this would have been on Thursday with the parade on Friday. He goes into the first half stats and talked about, hey, we did great in the first half. You really stopped him. It was like really, really good work. And then he looked at the second half and said, this is unacceptable. He circles like these numbers from the second half. He goes, 22 points, unacceptable. We won because they didn't score in the second half, but this is not going to work. So they won the Super Bowl. They're about to have their parade. And he's like, hey, you still did a crap job with these things.
Can I throw out a real quick note, Kevin?
Sure.
You brought this up yesterday or maybe even Friday. I think it was Friday, actually.
Okay.
Brett Veach said at the Combine that Kelce is fired up about entering the final year of his contract and playing. Quote, we left it as he'd be back and we're excited to get him back and get him going. So that is significant news. I know you brought up last week, you're like, there is a deadline. And so it sounds like This is it.
Because he had a roster bonus coming. And personally, I still think it would be a funny bit to be like, yeah, I'm in. And then 2 days later, you're like, oh, I changed my mind.
Yeah.
Like
that's the way the Chiefs play, too.
I can't imagine that he would do such a thing. But I just wanted to, that's a good update. So we believe that Travis Kelce will be back. And I think Jason Kelce had said the other day that he thought Travis had made up his mind.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to throw that out there as well as just another example of how, man, the Eagles are just different. Even after winning, they're still having meetings, and their DC is
that's Sirianni,
like,
right?
Yeah.
Like, that's all Sirianni, and his, what everybody says is a corny approach, but it's like, hey, he's got those guys believing it.
I mean, and their DC is like, hey, this isn't good enough, and you're like, we gave up all those points because we didn't care because the game was over. I mean, I wouldn't say that in that meeting because that would be hugely problematic, but, you know. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next,
batting practice.
We can give updates on batting practice. But
what if we did 15-minute segment on batting practice? But not talk about like how batting practice. We just say he's just hit the ball to right field.
Oh, my God.
And then we think about how quick batting practice is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he bunted.
Yeah.
You think that's a good idea?
Marcus Semien just bunted.
All right, I'll tell you what.
Shot to right field is
foul ball. Probably only hit it about 170 feet.
We'll either do that or we'll have an in-depth interview with Dane Dunning. All right, those will be...
Okay.
That's a gapper right there.
Those will be your two options.
Another gapper. Well,
we're working Oppo Tacos now with Marcus Semien.
Okay, so Oppo Taco, batting practice.
Ground ball to second.
Dane Dunning. All of it next right here on The Fan.